Okay, here we go. Hong Kong Football Podcast. Eastern have boosted their attack. Taipo have given some players the sack. And with pandemic control on track, Hong Kong football is back. And so are we. Coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, my name, as always, is James Legg. And I'm pleased to say that I am joined, as ever, by Dr. Tobias Dusser.
Hello, everyone.
And Mr. Jonathan White.
Afternoon.
How is everybody?
Could be better, but I guess we are approaching another football season soon.
You do not sound appropriately amped for the return of Hong Kong football.
I'm not really sure what's going on, yeah, so we'll find out, I think.
Jonathan, do you have any more, you know, enthusiasm to share with the listeners?
We've got to get this season finished before we can start next season. And that's a strange position to be in. There's a lot of known unknowns and unknown unknowns, and maybe some unknown knowns. Who knows?
Okay, so the postponed 2019-20 season is coming back. It's all going to be behind closed doors. It's going to be a little bit like the Premier League of England and the Bundesliga in Germany, and they're basically going to power through all of these remaining games in a few weeks, one after the other, behind closed doors, lots of testing and making sure everyone's healthy, I assume, I don't know.
They are testing to make sure people are healthy.
Good, thanks for that. How long is it going to take? How many games are left to play? Fill me in.
So basically, we only have six clubs left that are willing to return for the 2019-2020 season.
From the original 10.
Right. So the ones who are not there anymore are Taipo, Yuen Rangers and Pegasus.
So reigning champions, Taipo, they're gone.
That's the case, yes.
Okay.
Of the teams that remain, they are still playing around five rounds that are left. So that means all the previous games that were played between the clubs that are still there and the clubs that are dropping out are now removed. So they have been eliminated from the records. That means the entire table looks very, very different.
So those games that involve teams that have now left, they never happened.
Exactly. Like the R&F 8-0 win against Yuen Long in Yangtze Stadium. Yes, it did not exist.
Last time we spoke, R&F had quite a commanding position. You know, they were 3 points ahead at the top of the table, ahead of Kitchee and Leeman and Southern. But they had such a goal difference that it was essentially 4 points. They also had a game in hand on most of those three teams that I've just named. What's happened to that lead once we take out all of those games?
There is no lead.
What?
Well, the goal difference has been struck from the record, as Toby said.
Because most of them came in one game.
Yeah, most of them came in one game against a team who, once they realised that they could get out of the league, decided that was the best possible course of action. So the lead is gone. RNF's procession to the title, their first title, looks like it's been stalled. They might not win it. It's going to have an asterisk next to it anyway, even if they do win it.
Oh, one hell of an asterisk.
Yeah, even for R&F, who have an asterisk beside them anyway. There was good news for R&F, though, that were they to win the title, and assuming that their Chinese counterparts in an equally complicated football situation, assuming that they don't go into the AFC Champions League spaces.
They won't.
They certainly won't. They're trying their best to really champion the Hong Kong sister side's aim for Asia. But if that doesn't happen, which it won't, then potentially if they win the league, they could represent Hong Kong now. They just have to win the league.
Okay. Well, that's good. They've got something to aim for. So they are still top with 10 points, but also on 10 points are Leeman in second, Kitchee in third. And then fourth is Eastern on 9 points. Then you've got Southern on 7 points. So the top five...
Of six
is very much everyone is in it to win it. Happy Valley are literally pointless in every sense of the word.
So that's harsh.
But fair.
So they're kind of out of it, I assume.
It's interesting that they're still playing, given the fact that five of the six teams are battling for a league title and the remaining team is battling for a point. Good on them.
I mean, they finished sixth, right? Then that's good on them already.
Yeah, because they were eighth.
Yeah, so, after being promoted, that's a good result.
Yeah,
a top six finish. I mean, they've also lost a lot of players. Should we talk about transfers? There have been a few comings and goings, but it's all very complex. As always with Hong Kong football, it's not quite clear what is allowed and what isn't. A lot of players have moved. So, like, anyone you've heard of from Happy Valley is gone. Igor Mijovic is gone. Mahir Karic, I think, is gone. Gavilan has left. So, I think they are going to struggle for the remainder of the season. Who else has been on the move? I suppose the big headline is Fernando. He's left Kitchi after quite a while. Four or five seasons at right. Kitchi. He's been arguably over the six-year lifespan of the Hong Kong Premier League, the best player over that time. And they have decided to bring him in just before, I assume, is due to get a Hong Kong passport.
That's right. So Eastern have brought him in.
Mm.
And he will very soon count as a local player. And so that was a very good move.
Will he be able to play?
Well, that's an entire other question that we can move into. So there have been a couple of very interesting transfers, nonetheless. So Fernando was one of them. Jared Lam, who joined R&F, for instance. Fung Hing Hwa, who joined R&F. Choi Wan Kit, who came from Meiju Hakka, who joined R&F in a kind of swap. Because at the same time, Leung Nok Hang was moving to Meijo instead. So actually, R&F are quite active. There's now also the rumor that Thiago de Leonco is on trial with Beijing Renhe in the China League One league. So there might still be some changes there. But the big question mark that you have brought up is that it is not clear if they're allowed to play in the ongoing season, because it's still the 2019-2020 season, and according to the actual regulations, you can only play if you have transferred in the proper transfer window, which was back in January to February. So if they have transferred after that, they should actually only be eligible to play in the next season. There were some suggestions that FIFA allowed exemptions for this, and Hong Kong FA believe that they will do, but then I don't know what happened. Some weird translations and everyone was confused, and now no one is actually, including the players, is not sure if they can play in like 10 days or not.
We do have confirmation that Jared Lum will not be playing for R&F for the remainder of the season, but apparently it's going to be quite case by case, isn't it? So we're going to see who does turn up, who doesn't, and also in the next couple of days before the games kick off, things could change. Who else has been on the move? Southern have lost a lot of players, most notably Shea Spitz, the left back, who has been with them the whole time they've been in the Hong Kong Premier League. He was thanked by the club, and he thanked them back in a Instagram post. So he's someone we interviewed not too long ago. Go and listen to that if you want to know more about Shea Spitz. But he's left now, so too late. Who else has gone? Travis Major, the main striker, he has departed. Diego Martins, Tikau. I think a lot of these players haven't moved on to other clubs, such as the uncertainty around pandemic and travelling and so on. It's a tough time for everyone, but I mean, including football players.
We had quite some notable retirements also to mention.
Oh, of course, yeah. Two very big chans of the local game.
Chen Siu-Ki, of course, the record goal scorer for the Hong Kong national team, and also Chen Wai-ho, former captain of the Hong Kong national team, both announced their retirement. And also Lee Hon-ho, a podcast favorite, the only properly bearded goalkeeper that Hong Kong had.
And that's why he's a podcast favorite.
Exactly. He had a big feature story, I think, also in HK01 about his change from football to the insurance business.
Wow.
Is a safe pair of hands.
I mean, it's kind of a drastic change, right? Like from basically winning the league with Tai Po as a substitute goalkeeper and then falling out of favor over these years, already during the championship season, right? And then I think he didn't play a game with Lehmann the season after. And yeah, so fair decision, I guess.
While we're on that topic, should we actually discuss what's happened to Taipo?
Well, they should have took out some insurance.
I think I know a man who could have helped them with that. Yeah. It's been quite the fall from grace. A year ago, or a year and a few months ago, they won the league in fantastic fashion, playing, you know, great football. Everyone liked watching them. They were kind of, you know, players like Igor Sartori, Eduardo Preis, who were really helping to lift the level of the whole team. They had a lot of youngish, mid-20s Hong Kong players. They had a coach who was all full of personality. Everything seemed to be going for them. And then, of course, as we've talked about in the past, they lost a lot of players to Eastern. They lost their manager to Eastern. But now, they seem to barely exist. Can you bring me up to speed on this? In 30 seconds or less.
In 30 seconds or less. Yeah. Okay. Start the clock down. So Taipo have been in financial difficulties for a while, probably because they have also spent a little bit too much during their championship season, eventually signing big name players and signing Sandro, for instance, as well also. And what turned out after the pandemic that their sponsor, the mainland based sponsor called Hongda, was not able anymore to pay the sponsorship money to Taipo, and eventually they were not able anymore to pay the players. So then it was like the players being unhappy, basically wanting to leave, asking for the money, and Taipo also realizing that they are not able to maybe keep up the operations. They very soon announced, I think it was in May or June, that they will not play anymore in the resumption of the 2019-2020 season, and that they also considered to voluntarily relegate to Division 1 for the coming 2020-2021 season. So that leaves Taipo falling from the top spot in Hong Kong football to probably self-relegation and the bottom of League 1 very soon.
Is this the end of district football?
Yeah, there has been this other story about the district council. So Taipo, of course, is a district team. That means that they have a special arrangement with the district council, the kind of local, I wouldn't say government, but just like a committee that can make some decisions on a district basis in Hong Kong. In a recent committee meeting, the district council demanded that they see the financial statements and all the financial decisions that Taipo have made in the past, and Taipo did not really comply with this request, and then they were stripped of the right to represent Taipo in the future. They are still allowed to keep the name Taipo, but they will not anymore have the favorable conditions under the district council by representing the district.
And do you think you can pinpoint all of this to the Open Top Bus Tour?
They spaffed all that money on the Open Top Bus.
That is the Taipo one receipt they don't want anyone to see.
It's a real shame, isn't it? Sad sight to see. They're still the reigning champions.
They won't be representing Hong Kong as reigning champions.
Okay, well, back to the present day. Who is playing whom in the next round of Premier League restarted behind closed doors special edition Premier League football?
So the fixture list has not been announced yet.
What?
Yeah, surprise, surprise. But what we can definitely say is that there are six teams, right? There are basically five rounds left, so everyone is still playing against each other once, because the autumn season was basically the one that is still counted, and all the return fixtures in spring have been cancelled so far. So except for Lehmann Eastern, who have both already played six games because they have met each other already. This means all of the teams are playing a kind of one game
round robin.
And that's it.
And very quickly, right? It's going to happen over 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, maybe even faster than this. And the reason why they have not announced the fixtures yet is that they are still negotiating where they're going to play. I think the Hong Kong FA considers to play in Mong Kok Stadium, but they also consider maybe Cheung Kwan O or Siu Sai Wan Sports Ground. The final decision rests with the government and the LCSD, which of the venues they allow to open.
But they've opened training grounds or those facilities for training grounds.
They did already. One thing we know for sure already is that the games will be behind closed doors. That means no fans will be allowed. Maybe media will be allowed. Surely media will be allowed, but that's about it. And probably they will again like do the broadcasting like they did in February and March, online broadcasting of all the games.
Wow. The quality of analysis and general chit-chat on this podcast is for anyone to debate. One thing I've always prided myself and ourselves on is our ability to tell people what is going on. And we can't even tell you listeners who's going to play who when things start getting back to normal.
So that said, this was the last episode of the Hong Kong podcast.
The one thing we were good at, we can't even do that anymore because basically no one knows and it's not really our fault.
The one thing you can do is know that the season will be finished. That is the plan for a new season to start again with Lord knows how many teams in it.
Yeah.
Committed to that in October, I think they want to start, so they can get back on track as quick as possible. And there's still a couple of cup finals to sort out.
Mm.
Once this Premier League is done and dusted.
Yeah, and that's what really this is about, isn't it? It is about sorting out AFC places because, you know, people like to joke about asterisks and things like that, but this really will be. It shouldn't so much be a league title with an asterisk next to it as a big, massive asterisk with a league title next to it because the games haven't even... Not all of the teams have played. Not all of the games have been played. There will be not that much value. I mean, I don't know, maybe this is just me. If let's say RNF win the league, how valuable an achievement will that be?
I think by 2047, everyone has forgotten about this pandemic. So, and probably Hong Kong football does not exist. That's another story. I think...
So you're saying that it will count?
Eventually, I mean, it counts, right, as a record. I think the further we move away from there, more people forget about what a weird season it was anyway.
Mm.
So
I think if they win it, it's less iffy than if anyone else wins it. They were leading, you know, they did look comfortable, they had put a lot of goals past people. Surely that makes them winning it a little bit more less asterisky than anything else. Mm. But now the fact is it's like the end of most seasons where there's like four or five teams. A couple of weeks left. Anything could happen. Anything probably will. Just be sure that Taipo won't retain the title. Happy Valley are unlikely to make a late surge. But other than that, you know, it's up for grabs now.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's as sunny an analysis as we can offer on what is not an ideal situation. And it's only fair to say that it is, you know, it is unprecedented. And whilst some people have said it hasn't been managed very well, it hasn't really been managed very well anywhere in the world, except for maybe Germany.
The only thing you could, of course, point out is that Hong Kong was weirdly overcautious compared to a lot of other places where they resumed football, right? Given that Hong Kong was one of the places where the pandemic was kind of under control for most of the time, being almost like among the latest to restart football is, yeah, a bit sad.
Right? But I guess that's a financial thing as well, right? Like, you know, the Premier League in the UK and other countries and other sports, you know, they've set up bubbles, they've set up mass testing, they've kept players isolated in like hotels and things like that. That could never be the case in Hong Kong. They just don't have the money for that, right?
It's a financial thing and also basically the reliance on public venues. So without the government opening public venues, and I think the FA has tried for a long time over the last few months to convince the government to reopen some venues.
And they mooted doing bubbles.
Right.
At great cost, but the idea was mentioned. But like Toby says, it's the venues. Even for training, no one has anything.
So what we are saying is you cannot entirely blame the FA. I think the situation is very unique in Hong Kong as well, with no club owns a stadium. And yeah, with this in mind, it was very hard to resume without the blessing of the government.
So if anyone can challenge RNF to unceremoniously come from behind and take away that lead, who do you think it'll be?
Well, obviously it will be Kitchy, I think, that they have like very good chances to do so. Lehman and Eastern, as you pointed out, they already have like played the game more. So they have a little bit of a disadvantage here. Even though I think in the last Premier League match that we saw, it was Lehmann beating Kitchy. And I think Lehmann are also now the team that is most keen on making sure that none of the transfers will be counted. So they're really very, very worried about the other teams like being allowed to field players that they just transferred. So, yeah, we shouldn't underestimate, of course, St. Lehmann as well. But I don't really see maybe Easton catching up just yet. Even though, of course, they strengthened the squad, but yeah, maybe some of the players also not allowed to play.
Yeah, it's funny with Easton, like they've kind of, looking at their team, we joked at the start of the season about how they'd essentially just taken all of Taipo's players, and now they also seem to have taken lots of Kitchy, I don't want to say legends, but you know, former stars of Kitchy. You know, you've got Lucas, you've got Fernando, you've got Sandro, and they're essentially the last two teams to win the league. Taipo 2019 and Kitchy 2018 kind of merged those two teams.
It seems a solid idea, but also the longer this season goes on, the longer both of those things were a go.
Well, you say that, but R&F appears to be trying to rebuild Kitchy circa 2017 with like Lamzi Ginn, Lo Kuan Yee, Matt Lamp. They've also got Jared Lum now. There's someone else I'm forgetting, I'm sure.
Feels like that 2016-2017 Kitchy vintage that they're bringing in is perhaps a little bit younger than all of the foreign lads who are getting signed as club legends, as you say, for Easton now. You only get legendary status once you've been here long enough to, get a Hong Kong passport.
Okay, Hong Kong football is a fickle game. You can get legendary status in a good 25 minutes.
Yeah, or just doing a podcast, yeah. I'm told.
Just ask Cheng Chin Lung, I mean.
What I'd say about the league is, if Easton are allowed to play all their team that they've just bought, that's a very, very different, you know, aspect to their end of the season than, you know, what they had prior to a very busy summer non-window, if FIFA allow it. You know, Southern, Zesh Raymond will be managing his first game, what, 3-4 months after taking charge. It's a very weird situation for them. They lost a few players.
Oh yeah, we didn't tell the listeners that Zesh Raymond is the Southern coach. Ricky Cheng left a while ago, right? But I think Raymond's appointment came after things came to a close. But yeah, I mean, he's been in charge there for months. I assume he hasn't done much in way of training.
Probably a couple of sessions now. Now it's been opened up.
He calls them sessions.
Very good. I don't know where to go with that. I had a very important point to make.
Sorry.
I don't know what it was now. I do know what it was. You know, you've seen with other leagues coming back, like the Bundesliga and Premier League, like these players who are a lot fitter than their Hong Kong counterparts, like they struggled with the return of matches and the matches being so thick and fast. So I think there'll be an added air of unpredictability, you know, to go with the expected air of unpredictability in Hong Kong football.
We see like a lot of players being overweight, probably. Who knows?
Yeah. Or even more overweight. Not naming anyone.
But then like what, maybe that brings us to what, the national team, for instance. Should we move on then?
Oh, remember that? Hong Kong football has, I think we should stick to the term representative team now.
Representative team, yes.
We used to play fast and loose with those rules, but I'm not very confident about that.
A team that plays international football.
Yeah, for a special administrative region of the People's Republic of China. Carry on.
Well said. You see, now I'm not the only one who tries to stay politically correct anymore. Thanks to the legal system.
Well, they've not played, funnily enough, for a year, it seems.
Where do things stand with that team?
Well, we are still in the World Cup qualifiers for Qatar. I think there are still outstanding games against Iran and Iraq, if I'm not mistaken.
Iraq at home and Iran away.
Right. Of course, not sure if like these games will ever play away or at home or maybe in a neutral ground. However, the worrisome thing again here is that, the Hong Kong team has not played. They also didn't have any trainings over the last few months. In comparison to this, right, Taiwan at the moment, sorry, Chinese Taipei, is at a training camp.
The CTFA.
Yeah, the CTFA having training camps. They have an ongoing season and so on. And, you know, all the other federations like China, they are having the league ongoing for a while, have also scheduled training camps, and there could be the danger that Hong Kong is really losing ground in these months, and possibly what will be a year eventually. I think there will be no competitive games anymore played this year. I think the AFC has already announced this. Mikso Partilainen wants to schedule a friendly game in November.
Is it the Hong Kong coach, Mikso Partilainen?
The Hong Kong coach of the representative team. And yeah, I mean, that's very worrisome, I think, in the long term as well. Like, what maybe this year of non-football almost might do to the team in the long term.
It was the last thing that the Hong Kong representative team needed was a year off football.
What do you think, James?
Oh, I'm here to ask the questions. I don't have an opinion.
Sorry, that was a particularly gloomy note.
Yeah. And speaking of competitions that may or may not ever restart, what's going on with AFC competitions?
They've threatened to restart them. They seem very keen on this.
Because if there's one thing everyone needs, it's groups of 30 or 40 people moving from country to country.
Yeah. Both the AFC Cup and the AFC Champions League have been threatened to restart in East and West zones and then neutral ground. There's still qualifying rounds to play in some of these. Like, it's all at different stages depending where it is. Some places had agreed to host like their specific groups.
I think Chinese Taipei is one of them, given the situation being there quite under control.
Mm.
And the Taiwan Premier League has been uninterrupted. But then it depends who is going to play. Because Taipo are not playing.
Taipo not playing, so Kitchi took the spot already. Then you have one team still from Macau, CPK. And then you have one team from Taiwan. And another team from Taiwan playing, I believe, a qualifier at the end of September for their last remaining spot against Ulaanbaatar.
Ulaanbaatar FC. The Mongolian champions. It all depends if everyone's allowed to go. You know, if they're allowed to go to Taiwan, then that can go ahead. I believe the qualifier was meant to be two legs, and I'm not sure if it's still two legs.
Right.
And it will be in one place, whatever happens.
So from a local standpoint, what does this mean for Kitchi? Kitchi are in having taken Taipo's place because Taipo dropped out. They're in a group, supposedly, with a team from Macau, a team from Taiwan. When is that likely to happen?
It's either September or October. Depends which bit you're looking at. I think the AFC's insistence on this happening is going to be complicated by travel, potential restrictions, and where other leagues stand. Because if Kitchi are going into this group, which they'll be favourites for, having snuck in Taipo's spot, if they go into that, then they're going to have to miss some of what should be the restart of the Hong Kong Premier League season next season. Lord knows.
Something else to sort out.
Yeah, more paperwork for someone. Probably a whiteboard, spreadsheet. There's a lot of work to do there.
Okay, I think that's everything.
Speaking of paperwork, I think just one more thing we want to address, because there's always so much talk about these young, talented players that maybe play for Hong Kong one day. Mm. And I think we have talked a few times about Sun Dai in this podcast as well. There has been a recent development, right? Sun Dai is playing at Shenzhen since this season, so playing in the CSL. Has had a couple of good games there as well. I think scored a goal, had one or two assists.
Yep, two assists.
And I think after his recent goal, he was asked where he would like to play in the future, given that he would have several options. And I believe he indicated that he would not consider to represent Hong Kong, but would like to represent China. Is this the case, Johnny?
I believe this is the case. He's been quoted as saying he sees his international future with the Chinese national team, which from a football standpoint is understandable. You know, an expanding World Cup does see China qualify. China hosting the World Cup sees China qualify. Neither of those things are going to necessarily benefit Hong Kong in the near future. The issue, I believe, is not uncontroversial with some local football fans, that his decision was not for Hong Kong but for China. And on top of that, there's a potential issue with paperwork. He has a British passport from his long time in Britain, where he started with Reading, went to Bury, who are no longer with us, Oxford United, and then Wolves Reserves. So he's in Britain for years and has a British passport, but China, not recognising dual nationality, will surely make him naturalise as a Chinese citizen before he plays for them. So that would have to happen before he can join Elkerson and the lads.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people seem to have strong opinions on Chun Dai, who have literally never watched him play. You know, Bury and Reading games didn't get regularly shown in my local pub in Hong Kong. And he's never had a Hong Kong football career. So it's weird that it's become such a big deal. But given the career path he's had so far, it does seem as though he's got something going on, that people keep wanting to sign him, and even if it hasn't worked out at those teams particularly, see how he does in Shenzhen. All the best to him, that's what I say.
All the best to everyone, James.
Any other business? What's going to happen next season, in the if that ever happens? I believe Resources Capital might be on their way up.
Right, have you decided on a nickname yet?
The Rezzies.
Capitalist.
We can go with either of those for now. Res cap.
All caps.
Looking forward to the puns on that one.
Yes, I mean, they're going to come up. They're doing well in Division 1, or they were doing well in Division 1 before that got postponed. It got cancelled, right? So
yeah, that got straight.
But it seemed as though they were very much invited to join the Premier League if they had the wherewithal to do so.
They've got the capital.
And the resources.
That's for sure.
There we go.
I think that is a sign that we've come to the end of this podcast. Any other business? Anyone want to chip in? By the time that we speak to you again, listeners, the season may be almost entirely over. I assume we'll do one in another couple of weeks. So, you know, keep watching. I assume that you'll get your latest updates from Toby's renowned local football website, offside.hk, or from Jonathan White's output on scmp.com, behind the paywall. Toby, any plans for a paywall at offside.hk?
Not yet, but we are considering it.
I hear they're all the rage. Finally, listener.
Sorry.
Have you ever been at the Mongkok Stadium and you've had too many things? You know, you've got your can of whatever it is you drink and your little match, freebie match program, and your octopus card and your wallet, and you've thought, I need a stylish receptacle for all of these objects. If only someone would sell me one, which will make me look like the coolest Hong Kong football fan on the Boundary Street stand at the Mongkok Stadium. Or any stand at the Hammer Hill Sports Ground, the Sham Shui Po Sports Ground. Well, listener, I've got just the bag for you. We are selling our exclusive limited edition Hong Kong football podcast tote bags. I've got one for myself. It meets all of my bagging needs.
Glad to hear that.
How, I hear you ask, can I get my hands on one? Well, keep an eye out on our Instagram. It is Hong_Kong_football podcast.
A lot of underscores.
Yeah, a lot of underscores. We will be selling them. Very limited edition. There's only about 25 of them left in existence.
What's that? Make that 24. One's already gone.
They're going to cost $80 plus postage. Did we decide $80 plus postage?
I think we decided $80. But yeah, in Hong Kong, we might also arrange without postage.
Yeah. Basically, get in touch with us on Instagram. I'm going to make a little advert. You can click on that to find out everything you want to know. And then you can get in touch with us and we'll arrange you paying us money and us giving you bags.
Is it safe to say this is the least unwanted baggage of Hong Kong football?
Okay, look out for that. Look out for the local football finally coming back. Stay safe, wear a mask, sanitize your hands, get tested if you want. I don't know, people seem to not want to. Until maybe 2 weeks from now, take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Cheerio. We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.